Krisus per Gimel Mishalef 3:1. We now turn to the topic of the Chatas and Asham Tali. You'll recall the Chatas is brought when a person does any of the Isurei Karas, but he does it b'shogeg, unintentionally. At that point, he has an obligation to bring a Chatas. Now, if he is not certain if he's chayav that Chatas, then he brings a Asham Tali, Asham Tali being this suspending guilt offering, which comes in the place of the Asham, and he brings it until he knows, if he ever knows with certainty, that he's chayav a chatas, in which case he brings the chatas as well. Now, the pasuk that talks about this chatas says, "V'im nefesh achas techata b'shkaga." If a person sins one of these averas we're talking about here, but he does it b'shkaga, not intending to break the Torah, but then the pasuk goes on to say, "Ohoda elav chataso," or he's informed of his sin. Then he must now bring his offering. Now the pasuk says, "Ohoda elav," or if it, let's call it, became known to him. But it doesn't say "noda" with a nun, which means he comes to realize. It says "hoda" with a hey, which means even other people informing him. And therefore, we have the chiddush that if other people tell him he did the avera, even though he is unaware of it, then he'll be chayv to bring a chatas. That's a chiddush, but it has to be that it's "hoda." A love. It has to be sort of that he comes to know it, a love, I'll call it, in his own heart. He comes to accept the fact that he did the sin. Meaning, if other people inform him, but he rejects that fact, then it's much more complicated. And really, that'll be a lot of the topic of this Mishnah here. Okay? So the essential point is, a love tells you he has to sort of accept in his heart that he did something wrong. If he denies he did that act, so then he may not be chayv after all. Let's see. Says the Mishnah inside, Amru lo achalta chaylev. If witnesses, or even a single witness, it says Amru, but it means even one witness, even a woman, not even like a female witness even, says, you ate chalev. Now remember, chalev is the forbidden fats, for which the penalty is karas, one eats it b'mezid, and therefore he ate it b'shogeg, he didn't realize he ate it, but if he ate it, he now has to bring a chatas. Then, maybe chatas, says the Mishnah, he must now bring a chatas. He's obliged to bring a chatas because he's been informed by others. Here, he is Shosek. He says nothing. He doesn't respond back to this information, okay? And that's why he's going to be chayv. We're assuming that he hears the information and he accepts it. He didn't say anything to respond. Now, there's actually machlokas were shown the actual mechanics of how he becomes obligated to bring a chatas because of someone else telling him something. So some learn it's by the mechanism called shtika kahoda, silences like consent or admission. And the idea here is that since he didn't respond, he's admitting implicitly that he, yes, must be, that it's wrong, I accept it, and therefore now I'm obligated to bring a chatas. Others learn it's a, that's like Tosos, for example. The others learn, like the Ramban and the Rajba, that the mechanics here are that there's a general rule of eid echad ne'eman be'isurin, even a single witness, even a woman, is believed regarding, I'll call it, forbidden matters, and therefore, in this case, they're informing him, listen, you did an isser of eating chalev, and now since he has nothing to say to the contrary, so he now must bring a chatas because he's been informed and he accepts it. Eid omer achal, the eid omer lo achal. What if two witnesses come and one says he did eat the chalev and one says no, he didn't? So now we're the bezdin, okay? We're telling this guy is well-meaning, but, you know, we have reason to believe he did and reason to believe he didn't equally. So now what? So certainly he can't bring a chatas because maybe he didn't have to bring a chatas. But there's the unusual special halacha of the Asham Talui, which is if you're not sure if you have to bring a chatas, maybe you do, maybe you don't. So then you bring this suspending guilt offering. So here's the case, right? Maybe he did it the chalev. We have reason to believe he did because one witness said he did. Maybe he didn't. We have equal reason to think he didn't. Some witness said he didn't. And therefore, he'll be on the hook to bring the Asham Talui. Similarly, Isha Omeres Achal v'Isha Omeres Lo Achal. If you have two women that one say he did, one say he didn't eat, again, we're not sure, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And therefore, if he doesn't say anything to the contrary, maybe Asham Talui, he must bring an Asham Talui. Now, an important point here, which you may or may, if you are aware, there's a special rule when it comes to Asham Talui, which maybe we'll discuss a little more later on, that you're not obligated to bring an Asham Talui for any suffix, any uncertain situation where maybe you did an Aveira, that's Chayim Karas. It has to be what's called Nikba Isuro. It has to be that we have, we're certain that there was something forbidden here. We're just not sure if he got involved with it or not, okay? In other words, if we weren't even sure whether or not there's any, you know, what the classic case of chayv of the chi of Ashim Talui is, a guy goes to the fridge and his roommate goes to the fridge and they each take some of the fat out and eat it with their, you know, their shawarma. And it turns out one of the two ate the chaylev that was in the fridge and one of them ate the shuman, the forbidden fat. We don't know who's who. So now each one might have eaten the forbidden chaylev. So both maybe did, maybe didn't. And therefore they both bring an Ashim Talui. That's a classic case. Here, that's a situation that's called nikba isur, that we know for sure that there is isur in the story, because we know everyone agrees that there was chaylev in the refrigerator. We just don't know which of the two roommates ate it. But the rule is, in general, if we're not sure if there even was any chaylev in the refrigerator in the first place, in other words, you follow, there were two batches of fat, and these roommates got one of the two last batches from the butcher, who then phones them up and says, oh, you know, maybe what you bought was isur, and maybe it wasn't. I just don't know. I can't tell if you ended up with chaylev or not. So here we have no reason to think they even got chaylev in the refrigerator. Maybe they didn't. So therefore, there's no kavua, there's no fixed, confirmed isur in the mixture of isur karas, and therefore they wouldn't bring a, no matter what happens, they wouldn't bring an ashim toli. It's a separate dinot to itself. And therefore the question is over here, one woman or witness is saying there was, and one woman saying there wasn't chaylev in the refrigerator that he ate. So now, does that count as nikba? As it's convinced, we're convinced there was isur, because maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. On the side that there was, there certainly was. We don't know. So most learn, the Rambam learns, yes, once you have one person saying it, on that side it is confirmed that there was chaylev in the refrigerator, so we're going to be concerned with that. I mean, the Ashim Talui. But the Ravid says no. Unless both witnesses are saying, we know for a fact there was chaylev in the refrigerator, we just don't know if this guy ate the chaylev or the shuman, and we have that without that nikba b'isura, then it doesn't reach the threshold of having to be chatas in the first Ashim Talui in the first place. Okay, fine. So now the Mishnah continues on to the most. What happens if Eid Omer Achal, Vahu Omer Lo Achalti? One witness says you ate the chaylev, and he says no, I didn't. And the witness says I'm sure he did. And he says but I'm sure I didn't. So now he's gonna be putter. Why is he putter? Because remember, it has to be that it's a hoda elav. He has to take it to heart. He has to believe it. If he doesn't believe it, he doesn't accept it, and he's a chayv to bring a chatas. Or is that matter? Yeah, period. End of discussion. So he's totally potter. Okay, you can't force someone if he doesn't believe in his heart. That's a requirement of the pasuk elav. It's a drasha, really. Okay. Now, what happens if shnayim omrim achal vahu omer lo achalti? What happens if you have two witnesses? And two witnesses usually is the gold standard for the halachic fact being established in the court. So two witnesses come and they say, we saw Reuven eat chaylev. Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe it was a shogeg, fine, but we're telling you, we saw him eat it. We know it was chaylev and he now has to bring a chatas. And Reuven says, no, I didn't. And they say, well, yes, you did. He says, well, no, I didn't. Okay, so now does he have an obligation now to bring a chatas? So Reb Meir says, yes, he does. Reb Meir says, listen, two witnesses said, in cardinal fact, whether you say it or not, you have to bring a chatas. The Chachamim, who are not mentioned in the Mishnah, however, disagree, and they say, no, he still doesn't. Remember, Elav means he has to accept upon himself, he has to believe it. And there's a special din, apparently, when it comes to a chatas. If you don't believe you did it, then you don't have to bring a chatas, even if two witnesses say you have to. So now, Amrav Meir. Rav Meir says, this doesn't make any sense. Im hevi'uhu shnayim lemisa chamura. If two witnesses said, we saw you do an isser that carries a penalty of death, and he says, no, I didn't. And they say, well, yes, you did. We would believe them, and we'd actually execute him. And that's, of course, chamur. That's as strict as it gets. So you see, two witnesses carry ultimate weight in the courts, and the fact the guy denies it doesn't help one bit. Lo yivi'uhu lekorban hakal. Doesn't make sense that if they say, you have to bring a korban, we saw you eat, it was shogi, but you ate that chelev, two witnesses say that, then for sure you should have to bring a korban. So the rabbis say no. Amrulo, they push that off and they say, Ma'im yirtze lomar mezid ha'isi. There is such a halachic phenomenon as the migo. Migo says something like, believe my claim that I'm saying in court, because if I wanted to lie, I could have said a better claim. So here, if a person does an avera, like eating chaylev, but he does it b'mezid, intentionally, then he's exempt from bringing the chatas. So if this guy really were trying to just simply lie and wiggle out of bringing a chatas, he could have said, you know what? You're right, I ate that chaylev just like you saw, but you know what? I knew what I was doing, so I can't, don't have to bring a chatas because I'm amazed. But he didn't say that. So therefore, believe me when I tell you, he says, that I didn't do it at all. Because if I was trying to lie, I could have gone at it in a checkmate, because you can't prove what was going on in my head. So that's what it says here. Uma im yirtze lomar mezid hayisi. Since he could have, if he wanted to lie, just, you know, nail the coffin shut on this case and say, listen, yes, you're right. What you saw, I agreed to, but I had it intention. I acted intentionally, so that's it. Have a nice day. I'm not doing a chatas now. So then believe in what he tells you. No, I didn't do it in the first place. Okay, now, it seems that there's actually machlokas in the Gemara, but one of the two tzadim, which I'll go with right now, is that the Chum don't need to come on to this. The Chum is saying, listen, Reb Meir, in your world, since you're insisting that there's like a Kol V'Chomer here, we'll say the Kol V'Chomer has this the chink in his in the armor, and as much as he could say Migo, and plus we have this a love business, which means he has to accept it. The two come together. Now, it could be the Chacham don't even believe the Migo is necessary at all. In other words, it could be the Chacham say, listen, there's a special din when it comes to Chatas. It has to be Hoda Elav. He has to accept it if it comes from the people. And if he doesn't believe it, doesn't accept it, then it doesn't matter if he's been informed by two witnesses. He's not accepting it, so he doesn't bring it. And no need to come on to the Migo. Just because, you know, Reb Meir is making a fight, they say, listen, even your fight we can push off. That's one approach, and that is maybe an easy to understand approach, because the usual rule is that Migu isn't operative. It doesn't help you against two witnesses. Migu would only help you against, say, one witness or other kinds of claims, but not against two witnesses. Another possibility is that, indeed, the rabbis hold that Elav wouldn't be enough in and of itself, but Elav plus Migu combined together, and those two things do exempt him from having to bring a chatas. Whatever the case is, the halacha certainly is that even if two witnesses claim he ate it, if he says he didn't, then he does not have to bring a chatas.